Hello, thank you for tuning in to Squabbles of the Soil, the podcast produced by students of MTSU's Agricultural Debate and Discussion course. Let's dig into some of the most controversial topics in ag today. None of these views reflect Middle Tennessee State University's beliefs as a whole.
Hello guys, my name is Zoe Stone, and I will be your host for today's episode. The topic that we will be covering is weaning and bottle feeding dairy calves within the dairy industry. Now, before we hop right into it, I want to discuss the controversy of bottle feeding. Some people believe that calves should be pulled from their mamas right away and bottle fed, while some believe they should be left up to their own devices and weaned when ready. Now, typically in commercial dairies, calves are removed from their mamas within 24 hours of calving and then bottle or bucket fed until 6 to 12 weeks when they are weaned. Some advantages to this are that farmers are ensuring that calves are getting enough colostrum and feed intake in order to grow and be healthy. This also makes it easier for farmers to facilitate milking and management of the cow. Some advantages to leaving the cow to wean naturally are that calves raised by their mothers tend to have better social behavior and can play and interact with other cows, and this can be really beneficial whenever calves are entering into a herd. Calves that are fully raised on their mom's milk are typically allowed to develop their digestive system slower, and because they're able to drink more frequently, which allows them to set up their digestive system better than a bottle or bucket fed cow. We've seen a lot of controversy and change within the dairy industry over the past several decades, but most recently, I can think of the Fair Oaks Farms allegations of 2019. That company, Fair Oaks Farms, provides milk for Fairlife Farms, which is owned by the Coca-Cola company, as well as supplies milk to Chick-fil-A. Now, those are two companies that most of us support, sometimes on a weekly, sometimes daily basis. And I think it's really important to know and understand some of the practices that were involved in that. Looking forward, we see the dairy industry changing a lot. We've seen a lot of local dairy farms shut down, a lot of producers' contracts cut, and we've seen a big change in consumer preference. We see a lot of people going towards raw milk in opposed to pasteurized, homogenized milk, as well as a lot of shifts into non-dairy and milk alternatives. So I just want to get into today. Bottle feeding is one big factor into that shift. And so today I want to get into talking to some of those experts in the field that can inform us on some disadvantages and advantages and some different perspectives on this practice. So let's go ahead and give them opportunity to tell about themselves and their relation to the dairy industry.
So my name is Brooke Vanderloop, and we custom raise dairy replacement heifers for a medium to large size dairy in Northeast Wisconsin. We've been doing this since 2008. I just came on board in 2019 after graduating from college, and I've been overseeing the calf program since then.
Okay. Now this, you kind of went into it a little bit, but, the next question was, what is your background within the dairy industry and what experience do you have with weaning and bottle feeding calves?
So we have, I mentioned it a little bit before, but we have been raising replacement heifers since 2008, all in group housing, all in buckets. and I've been around calves for as long as I can remember. But I officially got involved, like I said, after college. I went to school for dairy science and then came back to the family farm. And like I said, we do all buckets. So we wean at, start weaning at 6 weeks and then finish weaning at 7 weeks. So a little earlier than probably the average.
Okay. So y'all do all buckets, no bottle feeding?
Yeah. So we bucket feed all of our calves. We bring them home right after they're born, after they got their first feeding of colostrum. And then on the second feeding of colostrum, we offer that in a bucket to get them, start getting them trained. And then if they don't drink that, then we offer the bucket again on the third feeding, which is milk replacer. So, yep, all buckets.
Okay. Let's hear from our second guest.
My name is Amber Canavan. I'm a manager of vegan campaigns at PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Okay, so what is your background within the dairy industry, or what experience do you have with weaning or bottle feeding or raising dairy calves?
Well, prior to coming to PETA, I did work with a number of sanctuaries, including some sanctuaries that had taken in calves and other animals from the dairy meat, dairy and egg industries. And also have attended some auctions where they auction off those baby calves that are unwanted by the dairy industry.
Let's hear what our guests have to say when asked, what is your opinion on weaning and bottle feeding dairy calves, and do you find it to be a necessity within the dairy industry?
I think that it's very much a necessity in the dairy industry, just because if you don't have access to waste milk or just milk in general, it's a very expensive input. Granted, they are very efficient on milk and milk replacer. It's still, the cost per pound to gain is quite high. And yeah, I guess it's a necessity.
Well, I mean, PETA's take on this is that, you know, the dairy industry itself is exploiting these animals and creating all these extra baby calves in the first place, and that the profitability, you know, is a big factor in how we treat these animals, including separating them from their mothers too early oftentimes. So you know, the crux of PETA's stance on this is that why are we forcibly impregnating and then taking baby animals away from their mothers in the first place for dairy products? Animals should be, especially when they're animals with maternal instincts, should be left with their babies for as long as possible to safely, you know, wean on their timelines. And that's what we see when these animals are allowed to live out their lives at sanctuaries.
Okay. So you said you had some experience with sanctuaries that take in dairy calves. Can you tell us a little bit more about that experience?
One of my favorite animals that I enjoyed caring for while I was working at an animal sanctuary was Opie. He was a calf who, you know, was born male into the dairy industry. And male calves cannot give milk. They're sometimes, but not always, you know, raised for beef. Oftentimes they are sent straight to auction, where slaughterhouses will bid on them by the pound, and those little babies are sent straight to the slaughterhouse. OB made it out of that system, and he was this beautiful, gentle giant. He loved his treats, and he was, you know, the exception to the vast majority of male animals who were born into the dairy industry. And just being able to see him thriving while, you know, not too far away, there was an auction house that had previously to people stepping in to get them to stop doing that, were using electric prods on these shivering, sad little baby calves who were waiting in corrals to be shown off and you know, bid on by the highest bidder. It's just a very sad situation all around for these calves.
Let's hear some final thoughts from both of our industry experts.
I got you. Well, that's great that y'all were able to step in and help a few like Opie. So what do you think would be a good alternative to bottle feeding dairy calves?
Well, the best alternative, you know, with the way the markets are going, plant-based milks like oat, soy, almond, you know, those are the future. And we are seeing some dairy producers switching to that. So the overall overarching alternative to having quote unquote to bottle feed calves born into the dairy industry in the first place is to be making that switch to producing plant-based milks as soon as possible. And that is not only for the welfare of the animals who are being, you know, forcefully bred and put through the system and then ultimately killed for milk or dairy, when we could be instead producing other products that don't harm animals, have a lower carbon impact, use less land, and are ultimately better for human health, don't come with a lot of the issues of lactose intolerance and allergies as well.
Okay, so you think the future is more heading towards like plant-based alternative milks?
Absolutely. The United Nations, you know, again and again has put out reports that we cannot tackle the climate catastrophe that's looming over us without addressing how we do agriculture and what we eat. And the dairy industry is definitely a part of that.
Gotcha. So I know I've seen like Starbucks has started promoting more like plant alternatives, like with oat milks and things like that. Do you think that large companies have a opportunity to kind of promote that switch?
Yes, we have been seeing companies, you know, 10 years ago you would never would have seen a TV advertisement for soy or oat milk on
right,
the TV,
right.
And now you see it everywhere. It, you know, it's definitely on the rise, and especially with Starbucks, they have been promoting their vegan drinks more and more. We're very happy to see that. We do have a campaign with Starbucks right now to encourage them to stop upcharging customers up to 80 cents per drink for that, however. And that is, you know, again, an outdated way of doing things that we're hoping more companies will stop upcharging customers for the vegan options.
So do you feel like bottle feeding calves is the only way to adequately produce milk?
when you say that, do you mean as opposed to like leaving them with the mom, or
yes,
what do you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. As today, yes. Just because of the way that dairy farms are set up and what the focus is on. In the future, I can see it being more and more of a option to leave the calves on the cows, just because of consumer opinion and perspective on that. But under most circumstances, I think that dairy calves will be bottle fed. 99% will be bottle fed for the foreseeable future.
Okay, so you said you kind of see like the consumer demand kind of changing, and you think that maybe unweaned or keeping calves on the mom, that milk will be more marketable in the future?
Yeah, I think that there'll be a small market for it. I don't think that it'll end up that becomes the standard in the industry, but I think that more of a specialized market, I think, will be come about because of consumer perspective or opinion.
All right, guys, that is all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much to Amber and Brooke for being such great guests here on the podcast. I hope that y'all got as much out of this podcast as I did. I think that we can all learn from this that different people are going to have different perspectives and opinions based on their life experiences. We see Amber have experiences with dairy calves in sale barns and sanctuaries, and we see Brooke have experience by raising dairy replacement heifers. Both of these people really had such an interesting perspective on the dairy industry and the future of the dairy industry. Amber kind of elaborated on how the future markets might be leaning towards more non-dairy milk alternatives and plant-based milks, while Brooke thinks that in the future there might be a market for unweaned milk, but traditional milk will stay consumer preference. If you would like to learn more about either of these groups, you can find Brooke's company AVA Group on Facebook at AVA Group INC. And then they also have a website, www.avagroupinc.us. PETA has a website that you can find at www.peta.org if you would like to learn more about either of these organizations. Again, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you learned a lot.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Squabbles of the Soil. Join us again to explore more controversial topics in agriculture. When you think your side is the only side, keep digging.